John chapter 1 verse 14. Please listen. 14.
And the word became flesh.
And the word became flesh. The word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, 14 says, the word became what? Flesh. Continue.
And dwelt among us.
And dwelt. So the word became a human being. Yeah? And he did not live in Mars or in Jupiter. He lived where? On this same earth that you are living. Yeah? He lived in this same flesh that you are living in. Amen? This same flesh, he lived in it. Continue. Continue.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what?
Grace.
And what? And truth. Amen. So now, thank you. Now, read verse 17. John 1:17. Listen.
For the law was given through Moses.
The law was given through Moses. Yes?
But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
But grace and truth came through Jesus. Before Jesus came to the world, God was working. God is always working. Amen? God is always working. Yeah? But before Jesus came to the world, the package they got, yeah, was the law of Moses. And that delivered some benefits. It was not useless. It delivered some benefits. Yeah? But when Jesus came in, he came with something better. Which is what? Grace and what? And truth. Like I said last week, you need both grace and truth. Yeah? Grace without truth is a waste. Yeah? It's in vain. Truth without grace is a struggle. Yeah? Can't help yourself. But grace and truth will help you get to destination. Amen? So let's just quickly give some definitions. And today I want to do some teaching to take you deeper into these concepts and just clarify some things that we misunderstand sometimes. And the goal of it all is that so that we can be better in every aspect. So first of all, what is law? The law is a commandment of God. What's the law? The commandment of God. Yeah? What is truth? Truth is the revelation of God. I'm giving you the shortest definitions. We can go further. Law is the commandment of God. Truth is the revelation of God. And finally, what is grace? Grace is the gift of God. We can go longer, but to keep it short, grace is the gift of God. Grace actually is everything that God does for you is grace. Hallelujah. What is grace? Everything that God does for you. And I'll come back to grace. But before that, let's tidy up some unfinished business with the law. And the question is, what is the difference between the law and truth? What's the difference between law and truth? Because the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came to Jesus. Yeah? What is the difference between law and truth? Anybody help me? I just take one or two answers, and then I'll pass me the mic. I have a lot to teach, but I still want some response. What's the difference between law and truth? What do you think? Let's take one or two answers.
This is really rough. Is the law like it's not attainable, but truth is? If that makes sense.
Okay, law not attainable. Truth is maybe. Well, I would say this way: some aspects of the law are attainable. It's just that you cannot do it all. Yeah. Truth is, well, okay, I'll come back to that. Any other definition? What's the difference between the law and truth? Think of the definitions. The law is the commandment of God, while truth is the revelation of God. So what is the difference between the law? Or let me say it this way. What's the relationship between the law and truth? Maybe I should say it that way. What's the relationship or the difference? Maybe I shouldn't say different. Maybe I would say relationship is better. What's the relationship between the law and truth? Okay, two answers now. One.
The law highlights, I'm trying to put this into words. The law is perfect. People are not perfect. So Jesus came to reveal the truth through grace.
that. The law is perfect. We saw that from Psalm 19. It says Psalm 19 verse 7 says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. When the law comes at you, yeah, it convicts you that you're a sinner in that aspect that you fall short. Not all aspects, but that aspect that you fall short, the law is black and white. It tells you you've missed it. Yeah? So the law is perfect, but people are not perfect. Yes. Yes? Any other? What's the relation between law and truth? Any other person? Maybe you never thought about it before. Grace and truth came to Jesus. The law came to Moses. What's the between the law? What's the relationship between law and truth? Yes?
What he said was just almost exactly what I was about to say, but I just want to put this little bit. I remember one of my uncles, the pastor, he was speaking one day and he said that the law is perfect, it's excellent, it was from God, but that it was supposed to just be a kind of school teacher to guide us, to make sure that the world does not totally disintegrate until Jesus comes, because Jesus was the perfection, the truth, the love of God, the ultimate goal of God for man, for redemption. But the law had to be put in place so that there will be something left to save, actually, something like that. So he explained it that way, and it made a kind of sense to me about that distinction. But Jesus is the ultimate perfection, that love, that grace that God really, really wanted humanity to get to. Okay. The law was to keep us.
I take that. Let me just modify it. So the law, yeah, is your referee. Amen? Have you ever wondered why you need a referee in a football match? I mean, you have 22 grown men. She didn't know what they ought to do. She didn't know what they ought to do. She didn't know when it's a penalty. Do you have to, what? I mean, they should know, isn't it? That it's a penalty. They should know it's a goal. Why didn't the referee? Amen? The law is a referee. Yeah? However, you only need a referee, yeah, because you have not come to full maturity. Amen? When you come to maturity, yeah, you don't need a referee anymore, because now you know what you ought to do, and you're doing it from your heart. But when it's not yet from your heart, you need what? A referee. Amen? I hope that was useful. So because of time, because if I go through everything I've written, I will not land where I want to finish on grace, but I'm starting from the law. So just to say that truth is the basis of the law. I'm talking about the law of God. The law of God is based on the truth of God. Yeah? The law of God is based on His character. Yeah? So truth is deeper than the law. Yeah? Truth is the essence of the law. Though the law may give you some boundaries, but where God actually wants to take you to is the truth. How do I say you will know the truth, and the truth what? Will make you free. When the truth enters you, yeah, it can flow from your heart. Yeah? You're not just trying to keep that law, yeah? But you are trying to practice truth. You're trying to live by truth. And now, what I'll do for you to help you understand now is to take you to Matthew and show you some examples of truth. That will make you get it. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm just jumping, but I need to because of time. Truth is deeper than the law, because truth is the basis, the essence of the law. Matthew 5, are you there? Matthew 5. So what we'll do today is that we're going to move around. If you've done a reading, let someone else do a reading till everyone has done a reading. Matthew 5, 27 to 32. Matthew 5, 27 to 32. Yes. Matthew 5, 27 to 32. Yes, who is ready? I wanted to show you a different relationship between law and truth. Who should we go for? Male or female? Okay, let's go male first, and then we'll come to female later. Matthew 5, 27 to 32.
Matthew 5, 27 says, "You have heard that it was said."
This is Jesus speaking.
"You shall not..."
Listen, just a minute. This is Jesus speaking. He said the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. So now Jesus is going to start from the law of Moses, and then he's going to give us some truth. Yeah? So let's start from... Go on, please. Go on.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who as much as look at a woman with evil desires for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Yes, please keep going. We're going to 32.
If your right eye serves as a trap to ensnare you, or in an occasion of you to stumble and sin, pluck it out, throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if your right hand serve as a trap to ensnare you, or is an occasion for you to stumble and sin, cut it off, cast it from you. It is better that you lose one of your members than the entire body should be cast into hell. It has also been said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you, whoever dismisses and repudiates and divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unfaithfulness, cause her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who has been divorced commits adultery.
Amen. Which version is that, sir?
Amplified.
Thank you. My brother there will like that version. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, now I'm going to teach you something to help you. So Jesus quoted two laws, and then he gave us some truths. But let's start with the law. Firstly, he says that the law says, "Thou shalt not what? Commit what? Adultery." What commandment is that? Anybody know what number? Young people, if you get it right, first try. £5. Don't check, don't ask, don't do whatever. What number is that commandment? You shall not commit adultery. Number, what is that? Going. I want to be fair. That's why I'm not calling you first. Okay. Where's the mic? Where's the mic? Don't ask. Don't tell. Just tell me the answer. Yes. You shall not commit adultery. What commandment is that? Number. Okay. We have him there. I know when I get him, he's going to say, "Why didn't you call me? I'm younger."
Is it 5?
Okay, he's not sure. And what's your number?
6.
Okay, any other guess? Take a guess. What number? You shall not commit adultery. What number is that? Someone said 5, someone said 6.
7.
Okay. Quickly check up and give them the answer. Who got it? Number 6. Okay, put your hands together. Right. And if you want to cross-check that, you can open to Exodus 20. You will see the Ten Commandments there. So that's the law. You shall not commit adultery. Jesus said, "You've heard it." But remember, he came to give us what? Truth. Yeah? Not just the law. So he said, let me read again, and I want to ask you, what's the truth there? Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and I'm quoting verse, which one? 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, what's the truth? The law is you shall not commit adultery. What is the truth? Yes, somebody give me an answer. Come on, tell me. The law is you shall not what? Commit adultery. But Jesus said, you've heard that one, but I'm saying something. Now the truth is telling you the truth. What's the truth then? So, yes?
Lust.
Lust is what? Lust is not the truth. Lust is something.
It's still adultery.
You don't say it that way. Lust is. Yeah, okay, sorry. It's adultery. I can take it. I'm shutting it. The truth is that lust is evil. Lust is what? Evil. Whether you resulted in adultery or not, lust is what? Evil. Lust will ultimately cause evil. That's the truth. That's what needs to sit in your heart. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be caught. You don't have to get in trouble. Lust is evil by nature. Amen? That's why it's telling you have to deal with the lust. And one of these days, over the next month, I'm going to do a sermon on David and Bathsheba. You're going to learn a lot from it. The Holy Spirit led me back to David and Bathsheba from the genealogy of Jesus. I saw Bathsheba there and said, why is she there? Because David had some wives before Bathsheba. Why did God choose that Bathsheba will be the one to be the ancestor of Jesus? We'll look at that later. Let me not take it that way now. Amen. Lust is evil. That's the truth. Let me show you another one before I want to take you in before I take you out. So Matthew 31. Listen to this one. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, this is the law of Moses, let him give her a certificate of divorce. I want to explain the concept. It's not the same context as our world today. There's similarity, but there's difference. In this context, the men were economically powerful. The women were not. They were the homekeepers. Yeah? And then, it was a very patriarchal society where men had all the say. The women really didn't have much economic or political power. So in this society, the man just comes and says, you know what? I'm divorcing you. Woman has no say. The moment he just decides that he has come, he will just write a certificate of divorce at the end. This is the setting in that society. It's different a bit now. So follow it. So again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall, no, so I'm not jumping. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. That's all he had to do. He comes on one day and fed up with this woman. Yeah, for whatever reason, he doesn't have to put any reason. He just fed up, writes his certificate, signs it in his own handwriting, and that's it done. Yeah? Now, that's the law. It was in the law of Moses. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality, old King James, we call it fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So you know the law. You shall not, if you want to divorce your wife, I'm talking to the men, not talking to the women, because this applied to the men in those days. Didn't it apply to women at all in those days? Only the man could do it. Amen? Just give her a certificate. But Jesus now gave them truth. What is the truth? There are two truths there. There are two truths that Jesus revealed in this 31 to 33. I want you to help me. Yeah? If you want to give, just give a certificate. So I'm done here. Yeah? I'm walking away. But what is the truth? Yes? Help me. Anybody? See, now I'm teaching you, not preaching, making you think. What truth was just revealing there? He revealed two truths, two, about divorce or about the breakdown of marriage or a relationship. Two truths. Anybody pick any? So try. Don't. And the worst that can happen is that you'll be close to the answer, but not perfect.
I think Jesus is trying to say that divorce is not allowed except for if there's a case of sexual immorality, but there's no other reason to divorce.
Yes. It's still sounding like law.
You have to love your wife.
Yeah, you have to love your wife, and you cannot just kick people away for no reason.
Yeah, you have to love.
You can't just wake up one day and say, I'm fed up. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. You have to live like a covenant person. Yeah? For better or for worse. Yes, any other truth you see there? There's one more truth, but that's a key one again. Any other truth you saw?
Complete guess, but is Jesus also trying to say that if you do divorce your wife, you're also kind of forsaking her, because then it's like if she marries again, she'll be committing adultery. So it's like your choice of divorcing her has an implication to her as well.
Yes, you're agreeing where I want to go to. Well, let me just explain. Yes, pass it on.
The point is that they're one flesh.
Yes.
When they've married.
It's covenant. Let me explain. This woman did not want to leave her marriage. The man just came on one evening. We don't know what entered his head. And he said, I've had enough. My heart is still there. Yeah? But now, economically, she has to survive, yeah? So if she has to go and remarry, she's just forced to remarry for economic reasons. But her heart is still in her marriage. She's still committed to her marriage. She's still committed to her husband. She's being forced to commit and that's, but the truth there, the truth I want to show you is this. You know, I told you that you will not see this, so I need to show you. The first one told us that lust is evil. That's the masculine version. This one shows us that flirting is evil. It's not just the person that commit adultery that is a sin, but the person that causes another person to commit what? Adultery. I want you to get it. It's not just the person that committed, but also the person that forced another person to commit. Lust is evil. Flirting is evil. Flirting is the feminine version of lust. Amen? So if you're a lady here, don't ever rejoice in the knowledge that somebody is lusting after you who is not your husband. It's evil. Seduction is evil. Attracting to yourself somebody who is not your husband is evil. It's evil. Amen? It's evil. Because they are both promoting the same problem. Amen? Are you enjoying the truth? Well, you see, you need grace. Amen? To practice the truth, to live in the truth, you need what? Grace. You need grace. Hallelujah. So where God wants you to be is a place where you are lust free. Amen? God wants my heart to be free of lust. You don't have to have gone to commit adultery. Yeah? Lust free. No pornography. No lustful fantasizing. That's where God wants me to be. Amen? That's the truth. He wants me just to be clean inside and outside. It doesn't matter if anybody's catching me or not. No pornography. No lustful fantasizing. Oh, let me find it in the... That's the feminine version. Fantasizing. No lustful fantasizing. So let's define two things and we'll move on. Okay. So now, what is the real principle of truth? As opposed to law. Matthew 5. Open Matthew 5 quickly. Matthew 5. Let's show you the principle. Then I will explain some things and move on to grace. So this one is in two parts. I'll deal with truth. Then I'll come to grace. Matthew 5. 43. You like this one. Matthew 5. 43 to 48. Where's the mic? Where's the mic, sir? Okay. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. You like this one? Someone who has not read today. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. Come on. We are going around. You've not read today. Yes, you like this one. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. Listen.
Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies.
Love your enemies.
Bless them that curse you.
Bless them that curse you.
Do good to them that hate you.
Do good to them that hate you.
And pray for them which despitefully use you.
And pray for them which despitefully use you.
And persecute you.
And persecute you. Why? Why? It gives us the reason. Why? The one thing about truth is that truth does not tell you what to do. It gives you the reason behind it. Hallelujah. Truth is the revelation of God. When the truth of God comes to you, it's not just what you ought to do, but why you ought to do it. Yeah, the truth inside the instruction, the truth behind the commandment. Yes, why? Go on, please. Go on.
Continue.
Yes, you have to continue. When you are dealing with me, you have to continue in the word. Amen.
that he may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if he love them which love you, what reward have ye? Mm-hmm. Do not end the publicans the same.
Yep.
Nope, do not even the publicans the same. And if he salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? though not even the publican so. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, somebody help me summarize. What is the master principle of truth? What is behind truth ultimately? Based on those verses you read. Yeah? What is truth based on? Love. Truth is based on love. That's why you need love. To perfectly fulfill God's love. You need love in your heart. Yeah? If you're just trying to fulfill God's love by your head, you will fall short. You need a heart, a transformed heart. A heart that the love of God sits upon. That love of God is what will constrain you to live right. That's truth. Truth is based on God's love. Yeah? Now, let me quickly do this and we'll move on. So let's define, because I know that many people don't know the meaning of love. Yeah, many people say, what can be wrong about love? Yeah? Two people love each other and they are consenting. So what's wrong about whatever they do? Whether it's male, female, or male-male. Or female-female. Amen? So, that means they don't understand the definition of what? Love. What is love? And what is lust? By the way, lust is the opposite of love. Spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, lust is what? The opposite of love. That's why love is good and lust is evil. That's truth. Are you following me? So, I've tried to define love for you. You can write it down if you want, because this will help you. Love is a desire for what is appropriate. Love is a desire for what is appropriate, which is what is right and proper. The desire for what is right and proper is love. What is lust? Lust is a desire for what is inappropriate, or the desire for what is wrong and improper. So anything, any desire you have, yeah? If you have a desire for what is wrong or improper, that means it may be good, but it may be improper. If I desire a woman, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. It just shows that blood is flowing in my veins. Amen. Hello? If you're a man and you have a desire for a woman, it's not a bad thing, because that God created you like that. You are functioning well. Amen? However, if I desire a woman who is not my wife, then it is improper. Then it is lust. If I desire food on its own, is there anything wrong about desiring food? You need food to survive, don't you? But you can desire food in a wrong way. Firstly, you can desire to eat something that you know will harm you because it is nice. Or you can overeat what is good and it becomes a problem. Sorry.
I say heat it too hot.
So for it to be love, it has to be right and proper. Otherwise, if it's either wrong or improper, it is lost. You with me? Now when we say God is love, we're saying that God is full of desires for that which is right and proper. Amen. And truth, the principle of truth is always based on love. Because if I love somebody, yeah, I have to desire towards them that which is right and what? And proper. Even if I have to deny myself. Amen? That's the reason why you will not fled. And that's the reason why you will not, what? Lost. It's not because it's not pleasurable. It's just because it's not right or it's not proper. Amen? And your motivation in all cases for love is to please God. Amen? You are not the source of love. So you say, I'm not the source of love. Love is greater than you. Amen? Love is bigger than you. Amen? Love is what? Bigger than you. It's greater than you. Yeah? It's God himself that is love. Yeah? It is through him You can't walk in love without God. Yeah? He's God himself that will empower you to walk in love. You to walk in love, you need the Holy Spirit. What do you need? He said the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. So that's why in your journey of love, yeah, you will need to ask many times, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, I need help in this area. Amen? If you want to walk in love, you say what? Holy Spirit, what? I need help in this area. Hallelujah. You can't walk in love, or let's say, you can't practice the truth properly without grace. You are saying the same thing. Amen? To practice the truth, you see, the truth is so deep, you need grace. Amen? If the truth is so deep, you need grace. Grace will help you to practice the truth. Amen? Grace will help you to walk in love. Hallelujah? The love of God in you is what will help you walk in love towards your fellow other human beings. There are times you won't feel like. Amen? There are times you will have reason of emotions not to. But you will still do it anyway. You know why? It's right and proper. Amen. Okay, let's leave there because we don't have a time. Let's go to grace. Let's go to what? Grace. This question I want to ask you will really help you. We don't have all the time, but it will really help you. What is the difference? Listen to this. What's the difference between the grace of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not sure you've ever had that question before. But it will help you understand the Bible. What's the difference between the grace of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let me show you a Bible verse to help you. Okay. Open to Romans 12. Romans 12. Because probably it's always they are the same. They are not the same. They overlap, yes, I agree. But there are some differences. And once you understand that, it can help you, you know, live in greater victory. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse. You need pure King James for this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 14? No, 15, where's 15 starting from? 15! Yes, Romans 5:15. Please, if you have it, read. Someone who has not read today. Let me have the mic. Thank you. Romans 5:15. Please open your Bible. Romans 5:15. Yes, anyone who has not read can read. Don't be shy. King James. Well, we need to go for King James, if you don't mind. Yeah? The old King James. Romans 5:15. Please listen.
But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many.
Okay, thank you. Let me just stress that again. Listen again. For if by one man's offense many died, that's talking about Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, two graces, abounded to many. Let me do that again. If by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Can you see two graces? So what's the difference between the grace of God and the grace of Jesus Christ? It's simple. I'm not complicated. I don't want to mislead you, but I wanted to just enlighten you. Yeah? Anybody have a go? Come on, anybody? Just one person. Okay. You know what? You can't be wrong. You're only trying, yeah? Yes, and we have to encourage you.
I think the grace of God is the Father, and the grace of Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh.
Yes! Put yourself up on the for that, and let's encourage you. I like that part. Let me explain. Jesus Christ, yeah, is the Word who became what? Flesh. Amen. And there's a unique thing he came to do. Jesus coming down to earth as human being, what is the achievement? What's the big achievement of Jesus? Why did Jesus come to the flesh? Why did the world become flesh? What's the ultimate purpose of God coming down and being a human? Ultimate purpose, help me.
To be the Lamb of God.
To be the Lamb of God, the redemption package. Amen? The grace of Jesus Christ has to do with the redemption package. Amen? God became a man, lived in human flesh, sinless. Let me show you something there. Just help you. Romans 5. Verse 12. Read for me verse 12. Anybody who has not read today? Romans 5:12. You've not read today. Romans 5:12. Please listen. Romans 5:12. Listen.
I'm reading King James.
Yep.
Wherefore, as by one man.
By one man. This Adam. Listen. By one man, Adam. Yes.
Sin entered the world.
So it means that before Adam, there was no sin in the world.
And death.
And before Adam, there was no death.
By
that destroys evolution completely. Because evolution, the success of evolution depends on death. Billions of death. But God, Bible says that before Adam, there was no sin. And consequently, there was no what?
Death.
There was no death. Continue.
By sin, and so death passed.
Listen.
Upon.
Death, yes.
All men.
Death. Spiritual death. We're talking about spiritual death. Because physical death is a small matter compared to what? Spiritual death. Physical death is just one of the consequences of spiritual death. It's not all. Spiritual death includes much more than physical death. It includes sickness, disease, poverty, oppression, all the works of the flesh. They're all products of spiritual death. Separation from God. Both in the temporal and the eternal. They're all spiritual death. Yeah? So, death passed upon all men. Continue.
For that all have sinned.
That's the point I want to. For that all have sinned. I want to understand this. Death only passes to all men because they sinned. Let me clarify. What I'm trying to say is that if you have a new child born into the world, yeah, until they sin, death has not passed to them. So you can understand that death did not pass to Jesus. Hello? Jesus did not enter spiritual death. Amen? Why? Because it's not sin. Amen? However, the sinful nature, yes, you inherit the sinful nature. But until you sin, before death is what? Activated. I want you to understand that Jesus also inherited the sinful nature from his mother. I'm talking about just, when I say sinful nature, I mean this weakness. Weakness of the flesh. So weakness of the flesh means that the mere fact that you have to sleep means you are weak. You know when you are resurrected, yeah? In your new body, you don't have to sleep. And you can even decide to take a nap in the air. You will not be falling. Have you ever watched, is it Superman or what? You see them just taking a nap. Superman can carry his girlfriend and they both take a nap in the air. Amen. But in the flesh, you are weak. Can you see? And when Jesus came, he also entered into the weakness of human flesh. He had to eat, he had to sleep, he was tired, he sweated. Yeah? You know Jesus sweated. Amen. Hallelujah. But he did not sin. So he did not enter spiritual death. Not only, the only time he could have is on the cross when he took our sins. But he did not sin. Amen. Are you with me? So verse 15, I'm trying to show you that there is the grace of God. And there's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain. The grace of God is everything that God does for you. Everything that God has done and everything that God can do is the grace of God. Amen? You see that all over the Bible. For example, let me explain. Creation is the grace of God. Look at the story of creation. God provided everything man could need, then God made man. Is that not grace? Yeah? God made all the heavens. Made the plants, made the rivers and the oceans, yeah, made the animals. Everything that God needed, and that man needed, then he made man. Is that not grace? Even the fact that you are alive is grace. Let me explain. You see, God created a robotic world, where we are all toys and dolls. You can't make any decision. Yeah? You can't make any choice. You are just there as though you are not there. You are a doll. Yeah? That won't be grace. But God brought you into a life world where you can make choices. That's grace. The gift of life itself is what? Grace. You can make choices. You can decide. You can decide your path. You can be going a path and you can say, no, I'm no longer going that way. That's grace. Amen? However, we know that Adam sinned and darkness and death came into the world. So now, God introduced the law through Moses. Yeah? God brought in a referee. Yeah? To help you manage death. So that death will not reign as much as it used to. Amen? You know when you have a referee? Yeah? The number of, injuries, hopefully, on the field should reduce. Unless the referee is not doing their job. Amen? 22 groomers. Without referee, they will injure themselves. Yeah? Am I right? So he brought the law to manage death, to restrain it. But the law could not do it perfectly because of the weakness of the flesh. So then God came down, yeah? In human flesh. He gave us something better, which is grace and what? Truth. God cannot give you truth without grace. The truth will not help you. It'll bother you. Yeah? If I give you truth now, there's no grace. As well as giving you the law. Keep you ignorant and just do the minimum you need to do. Amen? But when God brings grace, he can give you what? Truth. Because he has given you both the... He has given the tool, the empowerment to be able to practice the truth. Amen? So, Jesus is redemption. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything he provides. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is everything Jesus has done for you. Amen? For example, Jesus died for your sins. Amen? Now, and he bought your salvation. Amen? So, to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you need faith. Amen? You need what? Do you know why you need faith? The grace is already given. Amen? See, when the grace is already given, you don't need to beg for it. You just need to what? Believe and receive. Because it has been paid for. Amen? That is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, somebody paid for it. Amen? He died, and he what? He rose. Amen? He said, as many as believed him, he gave them what? The power to do what? It's paid for. So if I believe it, I can receive it. Say with me, say, if I believe it, I can receive it. However, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is a subset of the grace of God. Let me explain. Creation is grace. But redemption is greater grace. Amen? Amen? The redemption package is greater grace because we've messed it up. We messed up creation. You know, if you like animals and you play with animals, you can see the beauty of God in creation. That's grace. But it's messed up. Redemption is greater grace. So now when you're reading your Bible, when you come across the grace of God, think bigger. Amen? When you come across the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, think about the salvation, redemption package and everything it includes. Yeah? Everything Jesus did for us is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God has done and God can do. I want you to understand that the grace of God is not limited to what he has done. It also includes what he can do. Now, I hope I'm not losing you. So, because of time, and because of my risk of losing you, let's say I want to finish this sermon in 5 minutes. Time is gone. We're going to be a part three. Because there's a lot to still say. So, for the grace that has already been given, you connect to it by faith. Amen? But for the grace that has not yet been given, you connect to it by asking. Please, try to understand me. The grace that has been given, you connect to it by what? Faith. It's been given. You tap into it. But for the one that's not been given or that you don't have, you connect to it by what? Asking. That's why, have you not noticed many times you keep praying and say, God, give me grace? Have you prayed that before? Amen? You find yourself in the station and say, what do you do? Say, Lord, please, I need what? Which grace are you asking for? The one that has been given already. Is that one you don't need to ask, you just need to believe. You are asking for something beyond that set. Amen? Let me back it up with the Bible so that you will not get confused. By the way, the first reference to grace in the Bible is Genesis 6:8. It says, and Noah found grace. Amen? Say, I desire to find grace. It's in the Bible. I will show you the New Testament. Okay, open your Bible to James 4:6 quickly. Because of time, I will continue this message next month. Next week, we have a different type of message. I open two places and then finishing within 5 minutes by God's help. First place is James 4:6. Open to James chapter 4, verse 6. If you have it, where's my mic? Yes? Please go for it. Go for it. James 4:6.
James 4:6. But King James. But he giveth more grace.
What does he do?
He gives more grace.
Say what we say, God gives more grace. Amen. Let's just pause and calmly think about that. God can give you grace. Amen. He can give you more grace. For wherever you are struggling. Amen. God can give you what? More grace. Continue.
Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace upon the humble.
So you know what? That even tells me that there are principles that govern grace. One of the principles is what? Humility. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the principle that governs is his faith. Amen? Because it's given. When it's given, faith. There are other principles too. Faithfulness. You know, you can increase in grace. You know that? You can increase in your connection with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can connect better. Amen? And you can connect less. When you connect better to the grace of Jesus, what Jesus has done for you, if you connect better, yeah, your experience of that grace will increase. When you connect less, your experience of that grace will what? Reduce. There are principles of grace. Now, the grace of God itself has principles. Yeah? When you connect, so the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is given. Any grace that is given, the principle, yeah, is faith. Any grace that is not yet given, what's the principle? Help me. Think about it. I'll help you. Think about it. You're asking God to do something for you that has not been guaranteed or promised to you. So what is the basis on which God will do it?
You ask and humble yourself.
Yes, humble. Yes, humility is a principle, yeah. But what's the master principle? Asking is a principle. Yeah. Any other principle? On what basis will God give you? On what basis? You know, grace is the gift of God. Yeah? Some call grace undeserved favor. So on what basis will God give you undeserved favor?
If you have faith.
No, faith. Faith is the one that has been granted already. Through faith, you will be granted. But your undeserved. Okay, sorry, I'm getting you confused. The second principle is mercy. Amen. Mercy and faith. Amen. When it's been given, you connect by faith. When it's not been given, yeah, you plead to the mercy of God. Let's finish Hebrews 4:16. I'm going to go deeper. It's just time. So let's just do Hebrews 4:16. So now, why I'm teaching you this way is for you to understand that it's not just one direction. It's both. That's why you see some people here. Yeah? Some people don't even come to church. They don't really even so much believe in God. But when they're in trouble, They know how to appeal to the mercy of God. And God still comes through for them. And you wonder, how? Like my young son say, how? How does this work? I mean, like, is this reasonable? Because there's mercy. There's what? There's mercy. In the Old Testament, God's throne was called the mercy seat. Amen? In the New Testament, it's called the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, let's read it. Read it, let's finish there.
Let us therefore, King James, please. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Yes.
That we may obtain mercy.
That we may obtain what?
Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need.
So tell me, brother, how can you find grace? I'm talking about the one that has not yet been given. You know, as you are, every one of us, there are some things you have grace for. That you will just do easily and gracefully. It comes to you easy. Someone else is struggling in that area, but you, it's like just peanuts and chicken nuggets. You understand? But someone else is really struggling. They don't have the grace in that area. Do you get it? You are both believers, but you have some graces that they don't have. Now you need that grace. Or you've messed up. You are in a mess. You are in a situation, okay, you've not messed up, but life has messed up, you know. Sometimes it's not you that messed up. It's just like life messed you. And you find yourself in a situation that is beyond your wildest dreams. You never thought that you could be in this situation. Oh, what will you do? You're going to go to the throne of grace, and you're going to lean and upon the mercy of God until grace is released to you to overcome in that situation. Amen? So you need to hold the two with two hands. Mercy and faith. Faith, you connect to the grace that has been given. Mercy, you used to ask. Yeah? For the one that you don't have grace for. You ask for mercy. Yeah? It's the law of supplication. Time has run out. But the law of supplication. Have you ever seen supplication in your Bible? You've seen supplication? Through prayers and what? Supplication. What is supplication? Anybody help me? What's supplication? Do anybody? It's an old English. What does it mean? Supplication. Give me modern words. Supplication, yeah?
Petitioning.
Is it petitioning? It's pleading. Let me tell you, in simple terms, it's begging. I'm telling you, it's begging. Mercy is a principle, yeah, behind begging. Amen? When you beg, what is the principle that governs successful begging? You are lean on the mercy of the giver. There are other principles, but the master principle is that it's their mercy. It's not your right. It's their mercy. But God is merciful. Amen? In your area of need, in your place of need, when you've tried everything else and nothing is working, go before God in humility. Yeah? Throw yourself upon the throne of God and ask for his mercy. Amen? Stay there. Begging is not easy. Begging is what? What do you have to do with begging? You will stay there. Come rain or come shine. And persist. Shameless persistence. Amen? But if you pray that Lord, you will get more grace. Amen. When you are struggling, yeah? You need more grace. Let's rise up. And some of the things I'm saying to you today may sound a bit, but process it with the Holy Spirit. It will help you. And in this generation, we are losing supplication. If I had time, I would show you that Jesus made supplication. Hebrews 5:7. The Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he cried. He cried on things that was able to save him. 3 hours he was there. I know it's 3 hours because each time he said, could you not watch me for 1 hour? And he did it 3 times. Yeah? And they told us in prayer, it was just a few lines. If it's possible, let this cup pass. If it's possible, he's making supplication. until he received grace. Bible said that then the angels came and ministered to him. Talk to God today. Say, Lord, I need truth. Because it's the truth that will make me free. But I understand that without grace, I cannot practice truth. Amen? I need truth. It's the truth you need. You need the truth more than the law. Hallelujah. The truth is the full packet. The truth is the revelation of God. And the truth is based on God's love. Yeah? A desire for that which is right and proper. But I understand that although truth is good, I could never practice truth properly without grace. So next prayer is, God, I need grace. And sometimes it's not grace you need first and foremost. What you need is mercy. See, whenever you are struggling, what's the first thing you need? Mercy. Pray and say, Lord, be merciful to me in the areas of my struggle. Have mercy upon me. Don't let me remain like this. Pray. It's the principle. That's supplication. You will pray, you will stay there and say, Lord, I cannot remain like this. It gives more grace. It gives more grace. You know, you can overcome the things you are struggling about. But you need to go to the throne of grace. And obtain what? Mercy. Amen. That mercy is not just only as by repentance. It's also about overcoming your area of struggle. It's like you're in that endless cycle. You've almost given up. Like, oh, I cannot, nothing can change. But I tell you, it's a lie. Because I myself, I walked there. There are things I struggled with in the past that were wrong. And then I found grace. I found grace. It came. And it's no longer a struggle. You need grace. You need the mercy of God. You can ask for it. He said we should ask and we shall receive. He said, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit? That Holy Spirit, don't just think Holy Spirit. Think grace. Think anointing. Yeah? Think grace. Think anointing. He can give you grace. He can give you anointing to overcome your struggles. So that you can actually practice the truth. Thank you, Father, for the delivery of your word today. Thank you, because if indeed this word is truth, his job is to make us free. So thank you, because this word has gone for today. We work in everybody's heart and in their lives to make them free of everything that is oppressing them, or everything that is holding them bound or in bondage. Lord, whether spiritually or mentally or emotionally or physically or financially, thank you, because your truth will make us free.